The Liturgy of Resurrection. Today is going to be more of a teaching time. And they'll say, oh Lord, I thought I knew it all. Oh, none of us never know it all. We are always learners. And when we fail to learn, we've not done well that day. We've just come through Lent and Holy Week, periods of serious spiritual labor. We've been thinking. Time to look and search our hearts for that which we long for and need. Lent is similar to the work that is required to prepare a plot of land for a garden. There are weeds to pull, clumps of grass to remove, and sometimes rocks to clear out. It's just according to where you live. Likewise, Lent requires the backbreaking and tedious labor of clearing ourselves of pride, pulling out weeds of selfishness, and trimming away the accumulated clumps of self-centeredness. Lent, then, was our season to work the soil of our souls and to clear away the debris that distracts our minds and clutters our hearts. I don't know about you, but my liturgical legs were pretty tired when Resurrection finally rolled into town last week. I was ready to throw off the discipline of Lent and the anxiety of Holy Week and replace them with that more relaxing and relief-filled Resurrection. Because the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. You see, yet today's reading that we find in John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31, they're the infamous passage about the doubting Thomas. And he calls us to say something in our hearts. We need to wait. There's work to be done. We are not finished yet. There is gardening yet to do. The gospel lesson for this second Sunday of Easter, for all 3 years in the lectionary cycle, we have 3 years, A, B, and C. And for all 3 years, when you put them together, John 20, 19 through 31 is the second Sunday of Easter, which is the first Sunday after Easter. That means that this is an important lesson for us all. It's one that you'll find that we need to remember. The spiritual work of Lent is a private thing between you and God, between me and God. It's that time. It's what you decide you're going to do. It's that covenant or that commitment that you make with God. What you're going to do during that time. Whether you've given up soft drinks, whether you've given up chocolate, whether you give up sweets. I don't know, some people gave up strange things, but some people gave up good things. Whether you decided to quit smoking. Whatever it might be, I heard a lot of people had a lot of different things, and other people added things on to do good for others, to try to be a better person, to try to look at things a little more diligently, to try to be a better everyday Bible reader, or to have a special prayer time or alone time. Those type things, those are good things that you work out between you and God. You see, that's that personal stuff. Then the work of resurrection, the work of the resurrected life is more communal, more public. It's a time of being the church family at work in the world, community, neighborhood, wherever you are. That is what resurrection is all about. It's what we do. You see, many Protestants bristle or put up roadblocks in their mind when someone says the word liturgy because we mistakenly equate it with rote repetition. It's that stuff that you say, like the Lord's Prayer, like the Apostle Creed, all those kind of things that you know, but you say it. And you just say it sometimes in such humdrum that you don't even know what you're saying sometimes, but do you believe it? A lot of people don't like liturgy because they say, well, that's just somebody else's words that you want us to spit out. We had a little bit of liturgy on the night of Maundy Thursday. We always do on Ash Wednesday. I'll have something for you to recite back and forth. But thinking about the empty phrases of the Gentiles that we read about in Matthew, the 6th chapter, or we think about a style of worship like formal. People don't like things that are formal. They don't like things that are planned. They like to come in and have church. But let me clear your mind just a little bit. We are certainly not high church or formal in our worship style. That is not what we are about here at Kiplin. We are not high church. If you want to go to high church, Duke Chapel, or go to any, usually First Methodist in any big town, they're pretty high church. They have everything in order. There's lots of stuff. But the word liturgy carries the idea of public work. in service of the state or in a religious context. The people's work or service is what we do to God and for God. In this sense, all worship is liturgical. It's all a part of it. But the idea of liturgy as our public work of worship returned to my mind as I contemplated this passage for today. If you and I simply stop with the spiritual work that was demanded by Lent and Holy Week, then all that we've accomplished is spiritual brush removal. All we've done is got out a few cobwebs, cleared a few lots, got a few things cleared up for a moment. But what have we done? All we've done is cleared out a little bit of the debris that's in our life. But you see, but the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And that changes everything for you and me. You see, Jesus' resurrection plows into the depths of us to plant and reap a new life. Resurrection ensures that the church's soul does not lie fallow, doesn't just waste it away. It shouldn't be that way. We've cleared the ground of our souls. We are now need to move on to realize the goal of the people's work. And that work is planting, tilling, watering, and harvesting in the garden of Jesus' resurrection. That is what He causes us to do. He calls us to be a part of this business. If we turn to John 20, 19 through 31, with the spectacles on of public work or the people's worship, we can identify several species of plant life that should spring forth from the fertile soil of resurrection that is at work within us. What are you doing? What's happening in you? What are you about to do? What are you about to be? What are you about to be a part of? Are you going to work for something good? Are you going to work for something as a community? Are you going to come together? You see, it's kind of odd to me that the Sunday that this is given is the Sunday after Easter. And the Sunday after Easter in the church is called Low Sunday. You know why? That's right, your attendance is down. You see, last Sunday was Easter. Now, we didn't have as many as we've had in the past because a lot of people were still on vacation. But we had 122 people. And we had some of those people that I call CEOs. They come on Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. We had some of them here last Sunday. That's not my word. That's out there if you want to read anything on church growth and church planting, it's out there. They'll tell you all about the CEOs. They're there. They came. And I was glad they came because at least they came. And I hope they heard something. But the thing about today is today when they should be here, it's about what happens after that. What happens after? We build ourselves up for that great Easter Sunday morning, that resurrection morning. And then here we come, we're supposed to learn and teach and grow and do. And this is what we are about. This is what we are supposed to do. The first thing that we notice is that the disciples are already in the habit of assembling on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, which is today. Well, goodness gracious, we're glad they did. Despite their fear and confusion, these earliest disciples find it necessary together as a community. Could it be that Thomas's conspicuous absence from the assembled disciples imparts and impacts his ability to believe? See, he wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. He was absent. Just like a lot of people today, they're absent. They didn't hear. And they didn't know, and they didn't see it. And so they aren't going to believe it. They're not going to be a part of it. Even the decision together is part of our liturgy as the people of God. It's an act of worship. It's an act of coming together. If we wish to probe the meaning and reality of the risen Lord, it is going to happen most fully when we are gathered for the work of worship. When we come together as a body of believers. When we come together to put upon worship. When it's planned, when it's put together, when it's all done. You know, it is put together for a reason. It's put together in order. It's put together to bring everything to a culmination at the end. You see this liturgy that we are talking about of the resurrection. As disciples are gathered, Christ appears, bearing the marks of His passion. The passion that we read about on Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. All those verses that so many of you read. Took part in. This is it. Don't miss that. Jesus, from the beginning, exposes his wounds for the sake of those present, effectively allowing them to find their faith again. You see, we all are like that. We have to find our faith from time and time again. Sometimes it's so far down that we don't even know we have it sometimes, but it's there. Sometimes we're not practicing it very well. Sometimes we're not letting others know that we even know. You see, both Sunday appearances involve a physical confrontation with the actual marks of the passion in his hands and in his side. We would do well to consider the same invitation to embrace the Eucharistic marks in our own liturgies as often as we gather for worship. One can make a good theological case, I believe, that the church was being formed as those disciples handled the body that was broken for them, as they got to touch it. This Easter liturgy does not call us to forget or discard the marks of suffering. Oh no, we don't need to forget that because they're there. They're not only a part of Christ's life, but they're a part of our life. Because we have marks of suffering in our own hearts and our minds. No, our liturgical work is to live into and out of those marks by filling ourselves with the bread of life and drinking deeply from the cup of salvation. You see, that is what we are about. That is who God has called us to be. That is what He gave His life for, so that you and I could serve Him. We also notice in this passage today the giving of a blessing. The blessing that we find in the 19th and 21st verses of chapter 20 when He says, "Peace be with you." Peace is the fulfillment of Jesus' earlier promises. Peace. Scholars all over the world point out that Jesus' statement is not a wish or a hopeful intention. It functions as a statement of fact. The liturgy of resurrection requires that as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I, that we work for and proclaim peace in this world. He says, "Peace be with you." We say that hopefully. Some of us get around to saying it, others saying, "How was your week? Good to see you." We're supposed to say what? "The peace of Christ be with you and also with you." We're supposed to pass the peace. That's what that's about. We need to remember that. We need to let others know that we are thinking about them, that we ask that God's peace be upon them. Another aspect of our resurrection work involves apostolic mission. Only here does John have the disciples commissioned by Jesus as apostles, or the sent ones, entrusted with the salvation message of resurrection. You see, in John's gospel, the Father sends the Son to serve as both the model and the ground for the Son to send disciples. He's the model for them. He's the root of them, to send out disciples. This is what you're supposed to be about. You see, our liturgy of resurrection will always involve a divine mission, and as Jesus continues on, divine empowerment. Our mission is to go and do, and He empowers us to do that. You see, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to His disciples that day by breathing on them. The Holy Spirit. In liturgical terms, the Holy Spirit empowers them to complete the commission just delivered and ensures the power over sin and to follow. It's absolution. It's what is often called absolution whenever Jesus breathed upon them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," He says in verse 22. He utters this as He breathes on them. "Receive the Holy Spirit." He blows His breath upon them. It is not difficult to imagine why ancient baptismal subjects were often breathed upon before baptism. When they came up to be baptized, they were breathed upon. "May the Spirit be with you." The Holy Spirit, may you receive it. May it be with you. We see that the church's work in worship and witness are indistinguishable aspects of liturgy. We know that it's there. In one of the more complicated and puzzling statements from the resurrected Jesus, we read that the forgiveness and retention of sin somehow falls on our shoulders. Notice that John doesn't spell out how all this forgiveness business works, only that this power is exercised in the light of the resurrection. This is how it happens, in the light of the resurrection. Such power has been used and abused throughout the church's history. But in the end, you and I must be aware that what we do matters. What you and I do, what we are about, what we say, how we act matters. Our forgiveness matters. Our spiritual work, like that of the Trinitarian God, the God of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is in and for the world, for the healing of all nations. Finally, our call to liturgical works finds you and I confessing. We confess with Thomas that Jesus is both Lord and God when he says, "My Lord and my God." Our work is complete. We have transformed from a fearful and anxious group gathered in an out-of-the-way place into a liturgical body wherein peace, mission, and forgiveness are the norm. A realm where the resurrected Jesus is proclaimed as the Lord of all. So on this second Sunday in Easter, let us know that the liturgy of the resurrection is about you and me. It's about how we live our life. It's about what we do. It's about how we serve in this world that we live in. It's about how we witness to those people around us. It's what we say. It's what we do. It's how we grow. It's how we go forth. So as you think about that this day, think about what it is that God wants you to do in serving Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much this day for who you are in our lives, for loving us, for blessing us, for giving us this time to come, for giving us this time to share. Lord, I ask this day that you just allow the rest of this service to continue to be pleasing in your sight, to allow us, Lord, to confess those things which haunt us and give them back to you, and to go forth from this day with the resurrection upon our heart and our mind, to go and to serve, to go and to do, to go and be. So, Lord, be with us now, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.